Their big guys just kicked our tails. I mean, just absolutely kicked our tails, especially coming down the stretch. They just kept throwing them to the two big guys, and all our big guys just couldn't deal with it.
Certainly much more competitive, but eventually in the end, not the result that Frank Martin and company wanted last night. 70-67, the final score. The Gamecocks dropped their sixth in a row in a game that, to me, was pretty representative of this season. At times, the Gamecocks looked really good. At times, they looked, it wasn't pretty. And then they battled back towards the end and got back in that thing, almost stole one on the road. But Justin Minaya with a pretty good look, man. Down three as time is ticking away, and he doesn't even hit anything. 70-67 again, the final score. Tennessee gets the win, and the Gamecocks drop six straight, drop to officially 500 on the season at 13-13 overall, 4-9 now in SEC play.
Yeah, I'm with you. That was a very indicative game of the season last night. I think that's a good way to describe it for multiple reasons. One, that's at least the effort you expect from a Frank Martin team. And I think it was something that we talked about even in the losses, but in the wins, obviously, over Kentucky and Florida, where this team would get down. They got down 9 to Florida. They got down big to Kentucky in the second half, and they fight back. And they did that twice last night in the second half. It looked like Tennessee was going to run away with it early, and I think got up 13, if I remember correctly. And South Carolina comes back, cuts it to about 4 or 5.
And they do it through foul trouble. I don't know how they did it. I mean, Silva and Kotsar were in foul trouble. Kotsar, especially the whole game, 17 seconds into the second half, he gets his fourth foul of the ball game.
Yeah, I'm trying to go back. One of my favorite tweets of the night, I believe, came from Gamecock Central, where they said it's Kadeem Gee and Ibrahim Doumbia time late in the first half. And
right. Jason Cudd got a lot of playing time.
But they get down 13. They battle back. They cut it to about 3 or 4, and then Tennessee runs off again and is up 9, and it looks like South Carolina's out of gas. And the next thing you know,
well, it was a terrible sequence there with 4 minutes to go, 3:30. Felipe Hase gets a great look. Carolina's down 6. Great look for 3.
Well, go back further than that. They were down 4, and Silva gets his fourth foul.
Right.
And he's got to come out, I think, 5:03 in the game. They were down 4, and then you go through that sequence.
I thought Tennessee was going to run away comfortably after Hase misses a 3 that would have cut it to 3. Mm-hmm. And then on the other end, their guy who didn't play very well at all, Daniel, just decides to pull up from about 25 and sticks one, and it's a 9-point game just like that. And yet, down the stretch, here come Frank Booker and company, and they get right back in the game, and they have a really good look at a 3. It took a Grant Williams bucket with, 20, maybe less than 20 seconds, 10 seconds to go.
Eight seconds. Because I wasn't sure if they were upset. I don't know if you saw that. Chris Silva, and we talk about his basketball IQ and knowledge, learning the game. South Carolina inbounds it, takes about 3 dribbles up the court, and Silva comes running down, getting in the referee. And it didn't look like, I think it was Booker who was asking kind of Silva what he was doing, and the Frank Martin didn't look particularly pleased that the timeout occurred right there.
Again, pretty representative of this year for the Gamecocks. The effort's good. The execution sometimes makes you scratch your head. But what you just heard from Frank Martin there, down low, what Tennessee was able to do, Grant Williams leading the way, 22 points in the ball game. Admiral Schofield was solid, I thought, but just outclassed is how the Gamecocks looked in the front court when Silva and Kotsar weren't on the court. But even knowing that, they still did enough to stay right in the game. And we have to remember, too, Tennessee's a good basketball team this year. And right now, they're set to be a 4 seed in the NCAA tournament, which is about as high as the SEC is going to get. I know Auburn's right now a 2 seed, but I think most of us are anticipating they're going to lose some games here down the stretch. They're tougher games in the season, but we'll see about that. But Tennessee has been right there at the top of the SEC, and they stay in second place or right there a couple of games behind Auburn. They have the chance to win the conference this year for sure.
Well, Auburn's got a big one. I think it's tonight against Kentucky. Mm-hmm. and that'll be entertaining, although I'm still not buying into Kentucky. I've been kind of surprised. I don't know if you've seen this as we kind of come down the home stretch here. I think it's Fran Fischilla or whoever's mock draft board they put up, and I saw like 4 Kentucky players in the top 100 or top first round.
Seen 3 in the first round.
It's not that I know that those guys aren't, I know they're not bums running around out there. It's just I was surprised to see Diallo as high as he was. Kevin Knox, we both kind of agreed, but
who does Fran Fischilla work for?
I understand what you're saying. I would still like to assume that his ultimate goal is to be right, but...
Come on. I mean, he's not researching the European guys necessarily. Is he doing that? Is he the guy that does that?
Is it Fraschilis? Am I right on that? Okay. I don't know. But anyway...
They're selling college basketball right now from ESPN standpoint is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that helps.
But anyway, so tonight you've got that game. Tennessee's a good team. I did think a couple silver linings last night. You saw South Carolina play harder. The second half, you saw them play better defense, something we had not seen. I mean, they give up, I think it was 38 at half. They were 38-34, I think, was the score, 38-33. And you were going, boy, they are on pace once again to give up right around 80. And they were able to kind of bow up in the second half, get some stops defensively. You're right.
Just to cut it to 4 at halftime was impressive.
Right.
I mean, I thought they were holding on, and Tennessee could have easily gone into half up 12 or so. Yeah.
But the second half, they played better. We'll see if it translates. I mean, look, you get no breather because you're talking about Auburn. Well, guess who the next opponent is on Saturday at Colonial Life Arena? It's Auburn. And so no breathers for that. We'll see what Auburn is like coming off of this Kentucky game tonight. I'm sure it'll be very emotional down there. Just anytime Kentucky comes into your building, we saw that here about a month ago now. But it'll be entertaining to see what kind of Auburn team shows up here as they come down the stretch. Tennessee looks good. SEC basketball last night, you know, you had the interesting tweet that I didn't think about, but it's
the dumbest thing I've ever
seen.
It is.
It's 102. We'll get into that. I want to get into that a little bit just because that is just stupidity. But that was a good game.
You're talking about Missouri, Texas A&M.
If you didn't see it, Missouri makes free throws down the stretch, and Missouri making a run. Texas A&M, I don't know if there's anything more relevant in sports than basketball polls because they move and change so much, and that's not even what's used.
Right.
For the NCAA tournament, but Texas A&M, after that 0-5 league start, back in there ranked 21 last night, but they lose.
Both those teams were on 4-game win streaks there in the conference, and Missouri now the biggest win streak in the SEC at 5 straight. They're playing themselves into a really solid seed. Texas A&M drops to 6-7, though, in the SEC. You mentioned that start, but I think the way that they're going to be viewed is kind of as a different team, and they'll get a pass to a large degree for that. The impressive part to me is what Quanza Martin and company have done. And
Michael Porter Jr., who was expected to be a massive part of that team.
Right, exactly. Arkansas also a winner on the road at Ole Miss, improving their postseason resume. They do it by 11 points over Andy Kennedy and company. Kennedy had recently announced that he's going to step down after this season, the longest tenured guy in the SEC. And Alabama getting a very necessary win to improve their NCAA tournament resume. They win by 15 at home over LSU. So that's a look at SEC basketball last night. We'll continue to let you hear from Frank Martin, who I think has similar thoughts to anyone who has any kind of logical brain when you watch Tennessee and South Carolina tipping off at 9 o'clock last night after two Central time zone teams in Texas A&M and Missouri had finished up. Didn't make any sense.
Did you catch, what even made it funnier to me was I saw your tweet. We'll read that later, but the announcers for the Missouri Texas A&M goes, "Oh, it was a very slow crowd to get going here," and I'm thinking, "Well, it's a 6 o'clock, 5:30 start time there." Like,
it just makes what could be a possible explanation for that? The only thing I could think of is, I guess
they throw darts at the wall, and
maybe you want more teams to get exposure across the country. Is that what you're thinking? In a later time spot, you want to make sure that South Carolina's brand gets exposure on the West Coast at a later time. I don't get it. I don't understand.
I blame Jen Jensen.
Well, ultimately, it's the fan who gets screwed out of this thing, right? And if you saw the article come out yesterday, not good news for college football. I was very surprised to see down attendance for college football. We'll get into that. Why aren't people going to college football games as much as they used to? And can you make a case that they're probably making the right choice? I think I can make a case that they're making the right choice a lot of the times. It makes a lot of sense to me. And last night's college basketball example is the latest evidence that you can point to that, man, the fans are getting this right. Fans aren't being looked at. That's not the number one priority for a lot of these games. Oh, I'm on my soapbox this morning. Oh, it is Wednesday.
Jen's angered the SEC. We got late start times, and you're on a soapbox.
I think we broke all kinds of radio rules, Jen. We've been doing radio now this morning for at least 10 minutes, and we haven't even mentioned Valentine's Day yet, have we?
Oh, okay. Yeah, Valentine's Day. Woo!
107.5 The Game welcoming Elton John's Farewell Yellow Brick Road Tour to Colonial Life Arena. So 13 months from now. Tickets are on sale this Friday through Ticketmaster, but the early game has your tickets before they go on sale. We're going to give away a pair of tickets to Elton John, if you're a big planner, 13 months from now. We'll do that this morning.
Woohoo!
Apparently, that's how this tour goes. You guys ever seen Elton John live? I know he's come to town a few times.
Yeah, I've seen him a couple times.
Yeah?
Seen him with Billy Joel. He's a good performer, no question. You know.
Is it a must-see concert? I was wondering about this when I saw the preview the other day.
Whoa. Let me translate what Jen just said. Jen just said the version of a guy going on a date with a girl he does not like and said she has a good personality.
Well,
he's a good performer.
Well, I wonder, that's the point. Like, I feel like that's going to be a sold-out concert that everybody's going to want to go see, but do I need to go see it? Like, is that – I'm 35. I'll be – Of course, in a year, I'll be 36, but...
Look at you in the math.
Mm-hmm. Quick to it. 6-something this morning. I'm torn on this concert.
Like, is the answer then. Yeah, if you don't feel like it's a must-see automatically, then don't go, man.
But this is going to be his last one, right? This is
called the Farewell Yellow Brick Road Tour.
Well, he can pull a Jordan.
He could be like a boxer and just never retire. That would be a brilliant move, right? Wouldn't that be a great gimmick? Mm-hmm. For a performer? Yeah, this is the last one, guys.
Now, there have been a few who have done that.
Floyd Mayweather just keep coming back? Yeah.
He was good with, like I said, he was good with Billy Joel, but that was, almost like a dueling pianos thing. And, that was a great show. I don't know him by himself, I assume it would be a really good show, but.
It sounded to me like he's not at the top of your list. Who is at the top of your list? Who would make that voice much more excited right now?
You know, one show that I saw, Paul McCartney was amazing, but Stevie Wonder.
Oh,
I think
nice.
He's fantastic.
I didn't see that coming.
And live, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking more rock. I thought she would have gone more rock. What about you?
I felt she'd Carol Burnett live.
Not even
a concert. She was just going to choose that anyway. I think you got Brantley Gilbert this weekend in North Charleston.
Yeah.
I was thinking about taking that in, catching a little bit of Brantley Gilbert.
Okay.
I've gotten more into that. I'm not like a huge country music listener.
Has to be the newer stuff.
But I'll go to the concerts.
Oh, okay. So let's get into this then, because that's a live event. It's a unique experience, right?
Uh-huh.
You saw the article yesterday. It's making the rounds for sure. Biggest dip in 34 years in college football attendance. Yes, the news came out yesterday. This is an article from CBSSports.com. I did not see this happening. I guess it's the fewest fans who have actually gone to games, according to this deal, in 20 years.
Right.
How has this happened? Is it second sharpest decline since they began keeping track of this thing in 1948. How did this doesn't match up with what we saw from a product yesterday? I mean, last year, excuse me. Because last year's product on the field, I thought, was as good a season as we were going to see. So clearly, this is something that doesn't have to do with the college football playoff being interesting or us figuring out who the best team in college football was, because there were a bunch last year. There were at least a dozen you could make cases for that had a shot at a national championship. I don't understand. Can you help me understand what happened here?
I was just glancing college. This is I was trying to look at the – I think it's multiple reasons. And one of the things that I was trying to look at real quick was the
SEC, by the way, specifically down sharpest year to year. The most since 1992. They're down more than 2,400 fans per game.
They have not put out any studies just yet in 2018. Coming out of 2017, college football, the game itself was at the all-time longest 3 hours and 23 minutes.
I think that has something to do with it.
I think it goes back to the NFL thing and why, because this is just attendance. This is attendance. This is not ratings. This is attendance.
It's not eyeballs.
Right. I don't think you can be, again, an absolutist. Just like the ratings in the NFL, I don't think you can be just an absolutist on that and say, well, it's protest and it's Colin Kaepernick and it's all that. No, it's not all that. There's a myriad of reasons.
I'm sorry, there's what?
I knew that wasn't going to be the right word. But I hate it when I say something, I see Jen instantly go to the thing where she's backtracking and pulling the word that I just said.
You know, I was actually going back to when he was talking about the attendance, and he said the biggest dip in 34 years, and I just automatically looked at Bill. I'm sorry. Happy Valentine's Day.
35. But the bottom line on that.
Let's move past that.
Let's just move past that. It's early in the morning.
You want to give it to him, or you want me, or are we going to try?
Did she even hear it?
What, Myriad?
That one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tomato, tomato.
I do pronounce that my. It's a good point. That's how you spell it. It's English is a weird language.
I'm from another part of Lexington. It's got a weird accent.
Okay.
Not with the regular proletariat. He's more gentrified over here.
Okay, yeah.
Thank you for explaining commoners.
I like how Tim steered us back to sports when we were talking about Elton John, and now he takes us back off course with the, English lesson.
He's kind of got a wobbly. It's like he's drinking this morning.
I'll never be allowed to promote Webster's Dictionary around here, will I?
Mm-hmm. Well, or yeah, you could. You could promote it as, please read this.
That doesn't really matter. I guess you could read it. Pronouncing is an entirely different animal.
Good point.
I think it goes back to just so many things. One, I wonder about this because as I get older, and I don't take a lot of games in from the press box. I'll sit in the stands. I'll be one of the fans out there and kind of enjoy it and enjoy the pageantry. I don't like sitting in the press box quite as much. I like just being in the atmosphere because I think that's what separates college football from basically every other sport is the actual atmosphere of the game. But is it getting almost too much where tailgating? I mean, you see people show up with the trailers and they've got the big grills on a trailer and they've got the TVs hooked to the trailer and it's an all-day event.
That's not new.
Yeah, I
tell me something
when you say not new in the last 10 years, but I feel like it's constantly being taken to another level. I mean, I feel like the energy, the resources that you have to put into going to a football game, while I think college football has the most pageantry and the best atmosphere, I think the energy and resources, I don't know of anybody, and I'm sure somebody out there listening does, or maybe you are that person, who leaves to go to the football game an hour and a half before the game, pulls up, parks, gets out the car, walks in the stadium, goes to the game, walks back out after the game, gets in your car, and goes.
No, you just talked about the Big Ten, right? That's how they do things there. That's certainly not how things are done around here.
I don't even know if the Big Ten necessarily does it. I mean, I guess I've been to some other games in other places, and I don't see it. Now, my point was I don't know anybody that personally does that. But I just think it's because it's becoming an all-day event.
But it's always been like that. I need a reason for why this happened last year. And I think maybe you were getting to it, and it's just money.
Well, there's resources. I think it's part of it, yeah.
I think that's a big part of it. And I don't blame anyone who decides to stay home and you're already paying whatever you're paying to get your television, and you take advantage of the best view of the best information. And it's all coming to you right there, and you're probably watching it with the people that you love the most anyway. I get that. Now, I also get what you're talking about. Like, you want to go take in these unique live events. You're talking about concerts, but there is a lot to be said for being there in person. And I got the opportunity to take my oldest son, he was 4 this past football season, to his first football games.
Right.
Like, special deal, man, because I got to go in the same stadium where I was taken to by my father and the whole thing. Like, there's that family history, too. You get to hang out with the family beforehand, the tailgating experience. There's a lot to be said for that as well. But clearly, with these numbers down an average of more than 2,400 fans per game in the SEC, the sharpest decline since 92, there's something there, man, that is not translating across the board, or there's a problem that college football is going to have to fix moving forward.
Well, and to go back, I think my personal opinion is what it is again, it's you can't narrow it to one, but I think it's money. I think it's the all-day event. And then I think it's the options you now have on TV. You have the SEC now. You have, I think, the basic cap. I could be wrong about this. I believe about the basic cable package on Saturday, you're going to have 6 options at any given time. You're going to have the 2 local channels, CBS and ABC. You're going to have the 3 ESPN channels, ESPN, ESPNU, and ESPN2, and you're going to have the SEC network. That's even if you don't get, I guess Fox runs a game now during, I guess the regular Fox channel runs a game And so that might give you seven, and that's if you don't have FS1 or CSNBS, CBS, what is it, CBS SN, I believe, whatever the alternate CBS channel is. Mm-hmm. I mean, you start getting an upgraded TV package, and all of a sudden you're talking about at any given time on a Saturday, whether it's noon kickoff, whether it's 3:30, whether it's 8 o'clock, you've got at least 10 options in front of your fingertips. And like you said, you've got your own grill, you've got your own kitchen, you got your own bathroom. You don't have maybe a loud fan next to you making rude remarks. You don't have to deal with the traffic. So, again, and then you got the money factor of just even if you wanted to go be a part of that, you're not spending, say, $160 for four tickets. And that's on the low end. I just ballparked it at 40. You're not spending $160 for four tickets to take the family, not counting food and everything else you may get into.
70-67, the final score last night for the Gamecocks in Tennessee. Frank Martin has mentioned, we played it a little bit earlier in the program, just got beat pretty bad down low. That's not a surprise going into this thing. It happened the first time around as well. Last night, this is the most we've seen, I think, some of these younger guys, more inexperienced frontline players play, I feel like. And they battled for the most part while... I mean, I was going to write at one point they were getting an education. That's what I saw last night. We're talking about a freshman in Jason Cudd who had a dunk, by the way, which was probably the most surprising play I saw of the night.
And Dumbia had a dunk.
Yeah, that was a really athletic play, by the way. A heck of a pass from Asani Gravitt kind of in transition. One of those things we haven't seen very much from this year's team. We were talking about the stat that popped up. Who was it against? Arkansas the other night, right?
Player,
but... Where they had their more athletic frontline guy. Had almost double the total dunks of the entire team of South Carolina at that point of the season. Chris Silva is the only guy we've seen finish effectively around the rim with the dunks this year until that play, really. And Cud, you could add him in there as well. You had Kadeem Gee out there trying his best, and they were doing everything they could to mitigate the foul trouble. You got Mike Kotsar with four fouls with 17 seconds into the second half, and Chris Silva in foul trouble as well. The fact that they kept this thing close was impressive. Unfortunately, it wasn't enough for the Gamecocks, even though they did get a good look to tie it up at the buzzer, and Justin Mania's three doesn't even hit anything.
Yeah, good effort, and kind of goes for nothing now, and I think because of the earlier season success or the January success that it's viewed differently now. To me, the goal right now is to find a way to finish the season above 500. Don't break your string of winning seasons. I mean, that's right. Kind of one thing. If you're looking for one thing that all of a sudden is kind of a must-do, don't break your string of winning seasons. South Carolina now 4-9 in conference.
And 13-13
so,
overall.
So, you know, it looks like you're going to have you're gonna have to win out to have a 500 conference record.
Right.
So, to me, the goal right now is to finish.
You're talking about overall. Right?
Well, yeah, obviously in conference, if you win out, you go 9-9. You're going to try right now your best to not have a losing conference record, but it seems like that's likely to happen with at least two games against Auburn left. You got to finish with a winning record. I think that's honestly something we talk about this program continuing to move forward. And look, this has been a step back year. There's no doubt about it. Nobody's saying it's not been. But one thing you got to, I think, try and keep intact is to not go backwards and have a losing season. I mean, South Carolina had those two great years under Fogler, two NCAA tournament bids. And then follow that up with an 8-23 season.
That's the last time the Gamecocks have gone to back-to-back NCAA tournaments, right? It's 20 years ago now, and it appears that string will continue this year, and the Gamecocks have to fight their way to stay above 500 just to qualify for the NIT.
Right.
That doesn't even guarantee you a spot.
Exactly.
That guarantees that you meet the bare minimum requirement to be considered to make the NIT. Five regular season games left now, two against Auburn, like you mentioned, the SEC leader, and the first one here in Columbia on Saturday, and then you got at least one SEC tournament game after that. Last year we saw the Gamecocks get the double bye. I guess the last 2 years they've gotten the double bye, so they've advanced all the way to Friday and have lost both of those games, I believe. This year it looks like if you finish from, 11-14, if you finish as one of the bottom four teams, you have to play on Wednesday, and they kind of play off to see who gets to Thursday in that SEC tournament. So that's where Carolina basketball is. We've been talking about college football this morning. A report came out yesterday. Attendance is down at kind of an alarming level. Let me give you the exact numbers there. The largest per-game attendance drop in 34 years and second largest ever, an average of more than 1,400 fans down less than 1,400 fans per game across the FBS, and the drop is even bigger in the SEC, down more than 2,400 fans, and that's the largest drop per year to year, I think, since 1992. Why is what the question we're asking. Why do you think that is? We'd like your help answering that question. Matthew's up first trying to help us out on the Love Chevrolet phone lines this morning at 803-404-6100. Good morning, Matthew. What do you got?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Doing well.
Well, you know, yesterday I kind of picked up on this when you mentioned it. And, by the way, love the show. On my way to Jacksonville to work and can catch you guys probably for another 30 minutes or so until I lose you. But, you know, I'm just going to talk as a South Carolina fan, a longtime fan, and a previous season ticket holder. I'm going to give you three reasons just why a lot of us in our inner circle have decided to shy away from the games. And it's really three factors. It's cost, time, and really – the experience. And when you talk about the cost, when you join as a Gamecock member, and it's a great fund, but when you start looking, you mentioned about $160 for tickets. When you go over the length of a season to become that member and go into the scholarships, you're talking about a few thousand dollars if you want to sit pretty close in a lower level seat. And, you know, we haven't upgraded the stadium all the way that I'd like to see. The bathrooms, I think, are atrocious. The drive to get in isn't too bad. But if you're going to sit in a game, you are talking about a whole day experience. And for a lot of us that have younger kids that are starting to play sports, you know, we decided to really opt out to that and to get together, you know, with there's 20 or 30 people and watch that experience at home. I remember several years ago when we had the rain or weather delay for the first time, I believe it was Georgia. I mean, my son and I sat at that stadium 3.5 hours just to get out of there, to get to the interstate to get home. So I think for a lot of fans out there, when you add up the amount of dollars and what they're paying and that length of time, and you're right, if you're going to a South Carolina game, it's a good 6 to 7 hour affair just to get there. So I just wanted to chime in, appreciate the show, and I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, Matthew. But isn't that part of the unique thing to college football, that it is more than just a game? It is.
Yes.
So I almost see that going the other way, man. I see that you got to embrace that. Make that experience as unique and as fulfilled as possible. I think they've tried to do that here in town, certainly improve the facilities, mm-hmm. improve the scoreboard, tried to improve the concessions. They've tried to address these needs, they've certainly upgraded cell phone technology and the whole thing. It's just, I don't know if the live college football experience can compete with what you get on television these days, because I think the television experience has enhanced so much.
Well, this is from Jonathan. He weighs in. He says on the Shepherd's Glass Twitter inbox, I still go to games, but if it's money, then things will only get worse because prices aren't going to go down. Also, too many TV timeouts. When I see the guy in the red hat come out, I cringe. Hashtag red hat guy stinks.
Well, that was part of the reason I think that a lot of us prefer college football to the NFL. If you've ever been to a game in the NFL, and I had not growing up, I always went to Carolina games.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember sitting and just looking at people and there's nothing going on for extended period of times, because television games weren't nearly as prevalent back in the 80s when I was growing up. And then I remember going to my first Carolina Panthers game, and then all of a sudden you're just sitting there watching a commercial on the scoreboard. Like, oh, this is the thing? This is what we do here? This is different. I don't like this nearly as much. And now the college football experience is much more like that first NFL experience I had, because of all the television timeouts, because every game's on TV and they got to fill that thing, and you can only play songs by the band so many times,
right?
And they mix it up. And
well, and that's, I listened, you know, it was kind of joked about, but that's why they tried to add the DJ to give you a more, I guess, friendly environment in between timeouts. I don't know. Here's the problem. I think we can look at the issue and figure out the biggest detriments to why people aren't going. I don't know if you can look at the issue and come up with a surefire way to solve it. I obviously, the easiest one is going to be to lower ticket prices.
Right.
Is to just say, well, let's lower the product lower the price of the product, and that should bring people back. Maybe that does. I still don't know, for $30, let's say tickets are, again, and that's the other part of this, if tickets are $30, they're $25. You still want to take a family of four? Man, that's still $100 without having to eat. That's before you even hop in your car and go pick up a bucket of chicken or whatever it is you want to take down there, some sodas, pay for gas,
pay for parking.
Pay for parking. I mean, it's at bare minimum, if tickets were $25, you're still, for a family of four, you're still spending about $150 on a game experience.
Oh, easy.
And so a lot of people look at it and go, well, I can take that $150 and we can put it toward, you know, a trip to Disney World or a beach trip this year. And you know what? We can take the game. We got the 60-inch TV here and I've got the grill outside and I can spend $30 on a bunch of hot dogs and hamburgers and ribs and we can cook and we can have people over. And you know what? If the game gets out of hand, let's flip to another one because I got about 10 other options right here on the satellite.
And to Matthew's point there, you're not investing 2 hours or 3 hours or four or five before the game, and yep. you don't have to invest any time yep. to get home.
Your yard works just as well for throwing the football with the kids. Mm.
Matt Luther weighing in via the Shepherd's Glass inbox this morning at Tim Hill 107.5, where he responded to today's poll question about attending college football games in person or watching them on TV. Matt says, we rarely go to home games at USC, just too busy, have younger kids, but typically pick an away game, make a long weekend out of it. Much more enjoyable, in my opinion, says Matt. Monty weighing in says, I prefer air conditioning or heat, whichever applies, clean restrooms, food and drinks in my kitchen, not fighting traffic. And when the wheels come off and we start getting stomped, I can just change the channel. Have fun at the game, kids. That's Sonny Monty weighing in this morning. We're continuing the conversation with you. The Love Chevrolet phone lines, 803-404-6100. College football attendance down. Its steepest decline in 34 years from year to year, according to a new report. Not everybody's buying this. I guess Caleb hit us up and says the reported decline in attendance is likely not significant. Need more detail to see if numbers correlate with the weather, the hurricanes in Texas, Louisiana, Florida, stadium capacity, even how attendance is measured, sales versus turnstiles. Well, I think anyone who's attended a game at Williams-Brice Stadium recently has seen the official attendance and knows that probably didn't mesh exactly with what you saw.
Right.
So I don't think it's a matter of these numbers being reported differently. I'm guessing the same way they reported in 2016 is how they reported in 2017. So I don't think that that impacts the down number.
I want to go back to what I said in the previous segment and just know if that's something that would be of interest, because what you just said regarding, I think it was Monty who just tweeted on that, saying kitchen and air conditioning and heating. If you had access, again, a little bit more pricey, and I don't know what number it would be. I don't know if it's the PSLs and say $500 more a season. But if you had access to a club style type, if South Carolina was to put more suites in, is that something that would intrigue you to go to more games? Like what? All right, moving the conversation forward to get attendance back up. Is it just as simple as we want lower ticket prices? We don't want more amenities. I don't want better internet connection. I don't want to be able to use my phone and see it. I just want lower ticket prices. Or is it if a university offered you a club level type seat, would you be more willing to go?
See the irony here? More people are staying at home watching it, and I think you're trying to say at the stadium they should make it more like you're at home watching.
Well, no, obviously.
I wanted to repeat the serious news this morning, an car accident involving PGA Tour South Carolina native Bill Haas. He's in serious but stable condition in the hospital. Luke Wilson's car involved in the accident. He's not hurt, but apparently the driver of the car that Bill Haas was in did pass away as a result of this accident. So a very serious deal there. Bill Haas in serious, again, but stable condition in the hospital out in Los Angeles where the PGA Tour is this week. We've been talking about college football, the drop in attendance, the report coming out yesterday, the largest decline in 34 years, year to year, and it's more than 2,400 fans fewer across the SEC in 2017 as opposed to 2016. A lot of you are weighing in, especially the money, the rise in ticket prices, the easiest explanation for this for sure. Jim would like to weigh in on the conversation on the Love Chevrolet phone lines. Jim, good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys. I can only give you my own personal experience. I was a Gamecock Club member for 30 years, full scholarship, and my 40-year-old sons both grew up going to football games and spending all day Saturday, you know, going down there and watching the games, and then baseball and then basketball. And the thing about it is that you're talking about those higher revenue people, but the Gamecock Club would tell me or send me information every year that the majority of their fan support was coming from the full half and full scholarship people. And the number of people that were really well off, the Silver Spur, the Golden Spur, the Platinum Spur, whatever other higher levels. I mean, when you start talking the next level above full scholarship, it was like $15K just to even be a member of a Silver Spur. That was not even including ticket prices and all that. But they just kept adding more and more fees. Seat fees and the ticket prices and, you know, just add on. And it got to a point to where with four season tickets for football and four for baseball and two for basketball, I was spending about $6,500 a year. And that was without even going to the games. I mean, not even, like you'd say, fighting the crowds to get down there and the parking. And then, you know, and you're paying $4 for a bottle of water. I mean, you know, it's just ridiculous. So they just kept adding on and on and on. And I realize that, yeah, you got to have the facilities, you know, and you got to compete with the Alabamas and the Georgias and all them. But like you all have already been saying, now my 40-year-old sons are like, hey, I can watch this game on television. Why do I need to go down there and fight with all of the people and find a place to park and have to walk you know, a mile and a half or whatever to get into the stadium and then pay all those hefty fees and just basically spend the entire day. And in baseball, I mean, then you got three games, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So it got to a level to where even with the premium seats, my football seats were four in a row, 20-yard line, 20 yards, 20 seats are on 20 rows up from the field, and I couldn't hardly give those tickets away. Especially if it wasn't a big game like Florida or Tennessee or Georgia. If I were talking Vanderbilt or if I was talking about, you know, some of the other games that were not as big a deal, you know, I just couldn't hardly get rid of them. I mean, it was just ridiculous. And so I finally got to a level where I just said, well, I'm sorry, but I can't afford $6,000 to $7,000 a year and having to almost give the tickets away and not being able to justify that. I mean, it just got to that level. I had to drop out.
We hear you, Jim. Appreciate the phone call there. As he was talking, I also, in fairness, wanted to bring up, I'm guessing during a lot of those years, Gamecock football was probably winning the most games they've ever won. Ray Tanner would tell you it was difficult to win a national championship without upgrading Sarge Fry Field significantly. And so the money has gone to, on the other side of things, attract big-time players. When it comes to college football, after all this being said, we've heard a lot of issues why you don't go to college football games maybe, but 57% of you voting on the Frank's Discount Tire poll question today says going to a game is how you would prefer to watch it as opposed to on TV.
I want to get into this a little bit more tomorrow. Where do you get your tickets?
Okay. Bill Gunter, ladies and gentlemen.